Welcome to French Renault Diaries Uncensored, Bants and Rants. The shorter episodes, in between the chunkier ones we've actually put some thought into, where we get everything off our chests. Will you learn anything?
Probably.
Yes.
Will you laugh?
Possibly.
Will we?
Without a doubt.
In this episode,
the Deserve Department 79 was always the area where you could grab a shack for way under 50k and do a renovation, but those are few and far between now.
See the guy that said somebody put his on the back of a fag packet and then was asking Facebook whether he was a legit artisan. I'm thinking, is this a joke?
If they don't know how to give a detailed divi, they don't really know how to run a renovation project.
I'm Sue.
I'm Rosie.
I'm Michaela.
Let's get to it.
Hi ladies, how are we? How's your week been?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, not bad. How about you?
Not too bad. Have we got anything to get off our chests this week?
Yeah, I have a topic to bring to the table, and I think it's one that will resonate with you both. And that's the issue of when you send out your devi to a client and it gets ghosted, or there's no reply, there's no thanks but no thanks, and you're just left high and dry with a quote. And the reason why I bring that to the table is that a chap on my Facebook page put a rant up about it, and it just kind of made me think, you know, from a conversion rate point of view, what is a good rate of no shows, no replies, or being ghosted? But essentially it was about him not receiving a reply back from the homeowner to say thanks but no thanks. And
right.
You know, it's happened to us in the past. So I'm just wondering if it's something that you've ever kind of experienced and how you've dealt with it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The amount of time wasters there is that are just aren't serious. I mean, we've tried to put protocols in place that try and limit that, but you can't do it all the time. It's just part of the course, I think. But, I mean, we try to send once the devi goes out. And to be fair, we probably have about a 2 or 3 week delay, depending on the job. And I'll do a follow up. And if I don't hear from it, that's it. That's as much time as I'll give it.
What about you, Rosie?
I really find like it's getting more and more common that people are asking for divis and then disappearing. It wasn't so much maybe even 2 years ago. People seemed to come forward who were a bit more serious, like they knew they were going to do the renovation work and they came to you because they specifically wanted the price, and then maybe they'd get another quote, but they'd be honest about it. Now I feel like there's a lot of people just asking multiple artisans for quotes, and that's why they're not coming back to us, because they've got like 3 or 4. And then I think people are putting things on Facebook and saying, I've just got this quote, is this correct, to unqualified non-trades on Facebook sites and asking them if they think that is the correct price. So I think social media has a lot to do with it, perhaps. People are asking perhaps the right questions, but to the wrong people.
Yeah, I agree.
And they should be coming back to us. If they've got a problem with a divi or they want to know why this costs this much, then really they should come back to the trades and ask them.
Yeah.
But it seems like they prefer to go out into the world of social media now and ask other DIYers. And I really don't see how they could
asked you two ladies of the question purely because you have multi-services in your devis. So there's a lot more research, a lot more planning, a lot more scoping out that... You know, when Paul does his quote, sometimes that could take between 1 and 3 hours just to do an electrical quote. So in my head, I'm thinking from your two's perspective, those 3 hours could easily be turned into 6 or 9.
Days.
So days, yeah.
Days,
and if you've got
a
couple of those that are no shows or no responses and being ghosted, that's the equivalent of a fair amount of work that is just lost into the abyss.
I mean, we're really lucky. The clients that we have had, they've all been, you know what I mean, serious clients, and they haven't really quibbled or questioned because they know the cost of things. So we've been quite lucky in that respect. But we have also changed certain aspects. So if it's a large project, like a really large renovation project, and it there's a lot of elements involved and planning and everything. We charge for it, and if they're serious, then they'll take it, and then we deduct that cost. You know what I mean? So we're not wasting time, but we're trying to ask so many questions before Scott even makes a visit.
Yeah.
We've got a big list of questions so that you kind of...
You can qualify before you've even put pen to paper.
To a certain extent. And also, there's also people which I completely understand. They have no idea of the cost, and then they get the cost and think, oh, gosh, I can't do that. But just a simple, oh, we didn't think it was going to be that much. We're going to put that aside for now. We're not going to go ahead. Just a simple courtesy would be nice.
Yeah.
But
in an ideal world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, for us, we haven't charged to do any divis yet, but I understand the concept of that just because it does take so long. It's sometimes like one day to meet the client and for them to tell you the project. Then another on-site visit just to dig down into the detail, to go over maybe elements of what they told you, because there's so much. If it's like a three-story, we've got one at the moment, a three-story townhouse, four-story. There are so many elements to it. I mean, literally down to putting a new kitchen in, plasterboarding, and then insulation, and then thinking about all the other elements at the end of it, like the tiling, even down to the skirting boards. Like, to get all that information into a divi, it takes an enormous amount of time. And you literally feel like you can't miss anything, because sometimes clients can be quite unforgiving in that respect. Mm. We've had this before when you give a price and then they're like, even though our divis are line for line and you can see exactly what we're quoting for, and we're really, really careful now, on every single line to say, this price is to be confirmed when the subcontractor has given us their quote. The tiles obviously haven't been chosen, so the price is just an estimation of like €30 a square meter for your tiles in the bathroom until you've told us what you're going to choose. Because of course the client hasn't chosen all the products before they ask you for the divi. They're not coming to you saying, this is the shower that I want. This is the shower screen I want. These are the tiles I want. These are the floor tiles I want. This is the kitchen that I want. So how we can do a precise divi from the get-go is impossible. So we're really careful to do that now.
But like you say, the Facebook ones where they put them on and they're asking people that haven't even seen the job.
Yeah.
There could be a million one reasons why they're charging that much.
Of course.
It's just...
There was someone on the other day who said something about gravel on a drive. And they're like, we've had a divi. It's like, I can't even remember what the price was, but it was like, is this correct? It looks like a good divi, but I just wanted to ask everyone on here, do you think this is a good price? And it's like, are they digging down the drive? Is there any drainage involved in that? Are there any drainage problems? You know, it's like there are so many other things that the artisan could have quoted for, not like, oh, 30 euros a square meter for gravel. It's just irrelevant.
Again, that comes back to perhaps some differences between the artisans. You two are quite descriptive and in depth with what you're presenting back to the client. I know for a fact that there are a lot of tradespeople out there that still aren't putting together a decent enough divi that a client would look at and go, yep, I know that. Yep, that's explained. Yep, I can see where that's what he's doing there. Yeah, expensive.
Absolutely.
But at least I can see why it's justified with terms and conditions and all the other legals that we are required. So I guess from that perspective, if they're going to Facebook, it may be that they haven't received a more in-depth kind of divi that you or I and others may present to their clients.
Yeah.
I do think that's where clients can get caught out, because then they'll go for someone's divi that isn't fully detailed, but because the total at the bottom looks cheaper, then they just go for it. And it's kind of like going into something with your eyes closed. It's like blindly just launching yourself into a renovation project with a company or a trade who has not given you all the information that you need, just on the one fact that their divi was the cheapest. And I think that's where a lot of problems arise, because then as the job rolls on, it's like the client will start to realise, was that included? You know, and if the trade's not going to be that precise in their detail, it says to me personally, with experience in this country, like over the past however many years we've been here doing this, that artisan is not really going to be that organised and that on top of things on the project in general. It's really like indicative way of like, you know, determining whether or not they're a serious trade or not, in my opinion.
Totally agree. Yeah.
I would say. If they don't know how to give a detailed divi, they don't really know how to run a renovation project.
Yeah.
So that is my opinion.
And you are entitled to it, Rosie.
And we are doing rants and bants. Just going to put it out there. But it is, honestly, it does annoy me, that kind of thing, because it takes an enormous amount of work, time, energy, and trust from both sides. And we take that seriously. Trust is really, really important. And we take that seriously, as you two do, I know, in your businesses. It's like maybe the number one thing. And we are there to give everything to the client in the beginning so they understand what we're going to do on a renovation project. And when other people aren't doing that and we're passed over for other people who aren't, it's...
When you're passed over on price and not trust.
I mean, it's understandable. I get it. People want... Yeah, they look at the price rather than the full package.
And the value that's in that package,
Yeah.
I think in terms of like electrics and plumbing, smaller works, it can be very easy to determine. And yeah, okay, if it's not that detailed. I don't know where I'm going with that. No, I don't agree at all. It should be detailed. And actually, it's the law for it to be detailed. So there's no way of getting around it.
See, the guy that said somebody put his on the back of a fag packet. Basically put a price down, went round to see him, wrote it down, da, 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 and then was asking Facebook whether he was a legit artisan. I'm thinking, is this a joke? You're having a laugh. But there we go.
I mean, would you accept that in any other, you know, thing that you're going to hand over money to somebody and they've just written it down on the back of a fag packet? I mean, if you were going to buy a kitchen, if they just wrote down on a piece of paper, oh, it's about that price, is that all right?
Yeah, but people do.
And then they ask you for 30 grand. Would you trust them? I don't
people do. It's bizarre. Mm. But that could be just vulnerability. It could be... A lot of people have said that they're scared to ask. I think that was another one someone had put on about... how can I check if this, I don't know if it was a roof or it was somebody else, how can I check if they're insured? I says, well, just ask. But they're too afraid to, they think that asking, then the artisan's going to get annoyed at it or go, oh.
If they haven't got insurance, then yes, they are going to get annoyed. But as you quite rightly say, you know, on a divi, you've got to include your insurance details, and a client has a right to ask.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's an absolutely brilliant point, Michaela.
Yeah.
If they do get annoyed, then why are they getting annoyed?
Yeah.
And just avoid them.
Yeah.
It's because a red flag. Yeah.
If we've got insurance, why would we get annoyed? Yeah, it's a red flag. Yeah,
but people are really kind of, I don't ask. But just ask. Ask them. They expect it. And if somebody asks us, we just go, there you go. There's no problems whatsoever. I mean, it's on our Devi anyway, but if they want a copy of the actual, they get a copy of the Decinel when the job's finished anyway. But if they want to see it up front, then they can see it up front. And if it's a large job, we tend to give it before we even quote.
I actually think it adds value to a quote.
Yeah.
You send your attestation with the quote and say, look, this is full insurance. Yeah. Please read through it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the client can see what they're buying into.
Yeah,
because, you know, we pay a lot for our insurances. But of course, we have to, you know, calculate that into the cost of the works that we do. An annual insurance is costed in for business expenses. So at the end of the day, we're all paying into it. You know, even the client is paying into it if they choose to do the works with us. So they should be asking for that. It's their right to have that from the artisan.
Yeah, definitely.
So they shouldn't be scared.
So did anybody see the story in The Connection about the €4 million chateau now selling for two? $2 million.
Do tell.
Oh, what happened?
I'm not a subscriber to The Connection, so I couldn't see the whole thing. So you can only see the... But yeah, Obviously the
clickbait headline.
The title was the that's it, that's the word I was looking for, the clickbait. So it says American couple sold historic property near Cannes due to job change. It needs renovation work, it says. But yeah, so they must have bought it for $4 million and it sold at auction for $2 million.
I
don't know the full story on that, but obviously it just brings me into, do we think that's how the housing market is going? Do we think that, because obviously after COVID, I don't know what it's like around your area, but the prices around us shot up because obviously everybody was snapping rural properties. They wanted to get out of the city. So a lot of people were buying these properties and it kind of stayed at that level for a couple of years and then kind of plateaued off. And when I look back to when we first bought 9 years ago, there were so many properties that you could get for under 50 grand.
Mm.
So many properties. Now I think that figure's doubled. Certainly around us, you're struggling to get you can probably pick a full reno up for between 70 and 100K. But I would say 9 years ago, that was 10 to 30.
Mm.
Certainly in our area. I mean, I'm not sure what it's like in your area.
We've certainly seen in the De Sèvres, we've kind of plateaued. I mean, the De Sèvres Department 79 was always the area where you could grab a shack for way under 50K and do a renovation. But those are few and far between now. The renos, the doer-uppers, we're kind of seeing probably coming in the range of about 80, you know, minimum 70, but way up in their 90s for sure.
Yeah, for a full reno. Yeah, same, it's the same here, really. But are they going to get that money back? We know how much it'll cost, 100-square-metre house that needs full reno.
Yeah, I don't know, really. I think in certain areas in France, I think you will still get your money back if you buy wisely.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't think there are as many properties about.
I mean, you're in a good spot, aren't you? You're in a good property hotspot, Rosie, in your neck of the woods.
We are because we're in a town. We're near the coast. It's a lively area. There's a lot of jobs around here. We're really near Rennes. So there's a lot of, you know, working people, a lot of French people. It's never quiet, you know. It's like the big cities, you know, Marseille and, you know, other cities around France, Bordeaux.
Yeah.
They tend to retain maybe their value a bit more because there's a constant changing over. Someone always is looking for a new house. Someone's always like upsizing or downsizing around here. So I think there's that. Rural properties, I don't know so much anymore. It's a long time since we did a rural property. We did kind of make some money when we did that, but I don't know if it's so possible anymore. And I think you really have to be on it to know your stuff to be able to do that now. I also think there's a market in France where the French, particularly younger French, are actually trying to buy and renovate to rent out or to sell on their like marchand de bien. Mm. They're just doing flips, they're flipping properties. And I think that's quite a big thing on the internet where there's actually people who are doing you know, online courses to help you understand how you can do that in France. Most of them are in French. I've not seen any in English for expats, but there's a lot of French people saying, become a marchand de bien, we'll teach you how to do it. And then there's a lot of fiscal elements to it. So you need to know the loopholes and stuff, but it's existing. So I think maybe there's a lot of cheaper properties being snapped up by...
Yeah. Well, that's those what happened people? In the UK 30 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago. I mean, if you want to try and find a barn to convert in the UK, you're going to struggle to get a, you know what I mean, to get one. They seem to have just...
But to buy a chateau for $4 million and then it's sold for $2 million, I mean, it would be horrendous if you bought somewhere for $200,000 and only got $100,000 for it. But, you know, yeah.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. How can you, I mean, that to suffer that loss is just...
I mean, I haven't read the whole story, so I don't know what the, you know what I mean, what the actual, I mean, it looks a beautiful place.
I suppose it highlights like how much it does actually cost to renovate these places. You need a lot of money going in. It's not for everybody. It's not like, you know, general.
So do you think the chateau thing is still as popular as it was? Do you think people have...
Ooh, good question.
I think for Brits, I think it's over. possibly. It's not as
I see
appealing.
A lot of Russians and
oh wow.
Yeah, we had someone went to see the Russian oligarch who'd fled to Greece or somewhere, who'd bought a chateau in Normandy, massive, needed a lot of renovation works. Yeah, that's another story in itself. We didn't do the work in the end, but yeah, so Russians, Americans, countries that have a lot of maybe more opportunities to make a great deal of wealth.
Yeah.
And now they're having problems in those countries and they want to come to a country where that wealth will buy them a lot. Maybe that's the new market. I don't know if that applies to the UK anymore.
I mean, in our experience as well, just going by living in France, it's not cheap. I don't think it's cheap to live in France. Supermarket prices are more than
think?
The UK.
Yes.
Do you? Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when we go back to the UK, we're like that. Whoa, that's
I'll tell you what, though. Yeah. I think eating out in the UK isn't cheap.
Yeah.
Like restaurants and bars, I get the impression that that's more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of supermarket food's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper.
Right, okay. Well, there's more choice, isn't
more
there?
More choice, yeah.
In the UK.
But when you look at things like electricity, utilities, and I don't know about what your homes would have been priced at now or what you left in terms of the council tax, but we left Brighton with a council tax bill that was quite huge. And then when you compare that to your foncier here, it's like a third of what we would have been paying in Brighton had we still been living there now.
Yeah. I mean, is it not the same in the UK where it's it depends what area you're living in, and I assume Brighton's like really, really expensive.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Yeah, I think if you're in rural France, then it's a lot lower. But I mean, Dinan's not mega. It's not like Paris, but it's probably
more expensive
than being in rural France. So yeah, I get that. If you move to rural France, you can make a lot of savings in your general existence, can't you? And council tax is probably one of them. I also think we buy less here, so even though it's a bit more expensive in the supermarkets, when I go back to the UK, I just buy so much stuff.
And then there's takeaways, and all of the places that you can get a quick meal on the go. I don't know about you, but I was with a tradie last week buying some stairs because we're having some work done on our man cave. It's time to have that social space and for me to have a little bit of a business side to it. And I went to Burger King and I just thought, when was the last time I had a burger? And it was like, it was pre-COVID. It was like, but back in 2018.
Wow,
yeah, so
great.
7 years without a McDonald's Burger King style meal. I've not missed it, but it was nice. And it was all on a kind of plate. The chips were in a little plastic thing. The drink was in a plastic cup. So obviously they're reverting back to not using stuff that goes in the bin, but needs to be washed and used again, which I thought was quite nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, don't miss it.
That's one thing that is more expensive here. McDonald's
yes.
and Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really expensive.
30 right, euros yeah. for two meals.
Yeah.
I thought that's the third, that's half my week shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely is.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably get slated for this, but I don't like paying more for it. It's true. But at the same time, I think it makes me think twice about eating it on a regular basis, which is probably better for my health.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not going to spend 30 euros every week on a Burger King or McDonald's. No. So I'll do it like once every few months.
I'm quite happy to wait another 7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe on the one hand, it's a little bit controlling, restrictive. But on the other hand, sometimes I kind of invite that to help me make the right decision. You know what I mean? Maybe that sounds a bit silly, but going back to the UK, it's like I will buy a 6-pack of Mr. Kipling's French Fancies just because I've seen them in the supermarket and then eat them. But I won't do that here.
Or the Greggs sausage and bean pasty.
The Greggs. Yeah.
Every tradie staple.
That's the same, though, if you're renovating a house. There's so much choice in the UK for anything interior, for all the choices of styles, of price ranges as well. And here there's just not as much choice. And I think that goes across the board for everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Whether it's a supermarket, whether it's a DIY store, it's just a little bit less, I think it's just less consumerism.
Yeah,
it is. You learn to live with it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways and means. I mean, we can do our research and you can get stuff, but it takes a lot more to get those items that you want because they're not in Leroy Merlin or Brico Depot or places around you. So maybe it's like a trip to a big city or go to one of the trade fairs. I don't know, find some suppliers who sell the stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you can do to find those things. But yeah, it's a lot
more
work.
That's a question
here
that I'm just going to add now then. Do you find yourselves looking for supplies for those kind of finishes, not necessarily in France, but in Europe? So like Italy or Germany, you know, is there a better range or a higher range of kind of finishing items?
Yeah. I mean, for us, especially if we've got kind of UK and American clients, they like a certain thing. And to get... Say it's door hardware or something like that, and they want this polished brass thing that looks like you can get them, but I'm talking you'll pay a lot of money. I mean, I looked everywhere for certain things, and the cost is just not, it's just not conducive to what they'll pay. Some people will pay it, but most people won't. So we ended up finding a supplier that was based in Holland, and we've bought. It's just things like court and steel and things like that. For garden stuff, you just really have to do your research to find certain things. And I mean, we're doing a kitchen renovation, and she wanted brass brackets for the shelves. Well, yeah, we ended up. Actually, we've got a pro account with a lovely brand, but they're actually based in Poland.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but they've got a French entity. We buy it from the French website called Corsten. They're beautiful.
Oh, yeah, Corsten. Yeah, but they're expensive, aren't they? But I love Corsten too.
But so we've ended up ordering from them to find the brackets that she wanted. So
that's funny. I've just been doing bracket research because I want some for our kitchen.
Lovely.
I mean, they didn't have...
I've been looking at Corsten.
Yeah, they didn't have a huge choice, but they're really, really, really nice. And obviously we've set up a pro account with them now, so it's quite good. So we'll definitely use them again.
Yeah, they're really good. We've seen them at the trade fair in Paris.
Yeah.
They've been on the stand quite a few times and they do like amazing like plug sockets and light switches and... Yeah. Yeah, they
just
they
the kind of thing
stuff
you'd expect to get quite easily in the UK. Whereas here it's just not really that kind of style, unless you're in Paris and there's some beautiful boutique shops, you just don't find it readily available. Whereas in the UK you could go into B&Q or you could go into somewhere like and you could kind of find that kind of stuff on the shelf. You just can't find it here.
It's just impossible, really. I mean, even finding architraves, like nice decorative architraves. We had a client and we were doing architraves around the doors and we went into Chausson. They had like 4 architraves and we needed like 8 doors or something. And then we went into, and then they were like, we don't know when we're getting any more. And then you go in the next builder's yard and they've got 5 and they don't match or there's something a little bit different about them. It's like to get the consistency in one place that sells them.
Yeah, we
consistent,
have to base them.
You know, in a consistent manner that you can well you can make them. I know we don't do that, so I mean that is a problem for us, but it just takes time and maybe we should order them from you. So
well, do you know what I said to Scott, do you know what, it's so difficult to get these things. I says, why don't we just start selling them, make them sell them MDF? He said, Suze, MDF is so expensive here. He said, we'd have to buy so much of it and store it and all that kind of thing. We'd have to set up a factory, I think, to be able to make it pay and do it in bulk.
Yeah, and it's a lot of time and effort on the side of just doing that. And do you really want to be the kind of company that becomes that? So, no.
If a client needs it, we'll make it.
It's not as easy as people think.
Yeah,
I understand that. We got someone to make some skirting boards for us, another artisan, because he's got all the equipment. And he's just one guy on his own. And they were fine. And he did like the OG, you know, nice profile skirtings that the expats like out here. But some of them were twisted when they arrived, you know. And it's like, then that kind of puts us behind on a job because it's like, now we've got to you know, straighten them and, you know, put all the clamps on and then wait for that. And it's not as easy as people think, really, to find these things. No, like we
definitely
said.
Not. So, ladies, have we got everything off our chests for this week?
Yes, I think so. Yes, it's been interesting.
I think so. For this week, we've probably got some more to come.
Yes,
but
I'm sure.
Don't want to rant too much.
No, definitely not. Well, fab.
See you again soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to the show to be sure you don't miss anything. Your hosts have been
Rosie Ellis,
Michaela Wilkins,
and Sue Peake-Russell. French Renault Diaries Uncensored was produced and mixed by Katie Wright, and the music is by Grand Project.